Good morning and welcome to Lighthouse Morning Podcast. Let's pray and say, Lord, thank you for this beautiful day, Lord. And as we look at this passage today, we know, God, that you are full of grace and love and long-suffering and patience, Lord. But there's an end, and sooner or later, Lord, you are going to chastise, because you chastise the ones you love. And so let's just look at this passage this morning, Lord, and just press into who you are, your nature. In Jesus' name, amen. So Hosea, remember, served the Lord for about 50 years, from 760 BC to 710 BC. And this man of God, he was a man who had a broken heart because he had a broken home. He ministered, remember, up to the 10 tribes in northern Israel. Now, in this book, they're referred to by the largest tribe's name, which is Ephraim. So when you hear Ephraim, think of Israel. But you might say that this book of Hosea is a heartfelt message from a heart-stricken prophet about a heartbroken God. You see, Hosea's life is a picture for us of him acting out an object lesson of how much God loves his people, and yet how unfaithful his people had been to God. And so Hosea was told to marry Gomer, and Gomer's a Hebrew word that means complete, and she was a complete failure in the marriage. She was a hooker, she was a prostitute, she left her husband, she left the children that they had within the marriage. And in this experience, the prophet Hosea was able to say what Paul said, that he had joined into or entered into the fellowship of his sufferings. And Hosea was also able to experience with heartbrokenness the people leaving God. And God wants a relationship. You see, that's what God is all about. You can read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you discover that God is all about having a relationship with his poema, with his masterpiece, with people. And so he enters into these different covenants, and within those covenants, that relationship should be enjoyed. But what God has always been about is an intimate, personal relationship with his people. And Hosea wanted that beautiful relationship with his wife. God wanted that beautiful relationship with Israel, but Israel turned away. So we're going to pick it up in chapter 5, verse 1 this morning. It says, "Hear this, O priests. Pay attention, O house of Israel. Give ear, O house of the king. For the judgment is for you. For you have been a snare at Mizpah and a net spread upon Tabor." Notice there's groups that are identified. The priests, the people, the populace, the kings, the princes in the house of the kings. This is the leadership and the common people, but the religious leadership, the governmental leadership, and the people, the house of the Israel at large, the priests were to have been representatives for the people to the Lord. And as priests, they should have been the best examples of what a godly lifestyle was all about to the people. The people should have been able to look at the priesthood, see this great example of following the Lord, commitment, dedication, godliness, but they didn't find any of it. Among the priests, there was this falling away, if you will. Among the priesthood, there was an unfaithfulness that was going on. But some years before, you remember the story, the priest Eli, who had his two sons, and they were acting corruptly and just doing all kinds of weird things. And they didn't care anything about the Lord. Hophni and Phinehas were doing all sorts of things in their own mind, making up as they went along. That was their worship to God. And it said the father was just kind of relaxed about it. He didn't come in and put his foot down. He kind of let it go on, and the priesthood became corrupt. Because the priesthood was corrupt, the population became corrupt. Like priests, like people. If you have corrupt leaders, you're going to have corrupt people. So there was this corrupt priesthood, and so the priests are addressed here. But, you know, there's a story. Years ago in Germany, there was a young man who was part of a Jewish family. It was a very devoted Jewish family. The most important thing in their house was going to synagogue. Everything that they did was revolved around going to synagogue until they were forced to move. And when the family was forced to move because the important people in town were part of the Lutheran assembly, the father set the family down and said, "We're no longer Jews. We're going to go to the Lutheran assembly. And so it'll be good for business." And he wasn't a follower of Christ. He wasn't interested in Jesus Christ, but he was interested in business. So they abandoned the synagogue and went to the Lutheran assembly. And this young man, he never forgot that. He became embittered with the hypocrisy of his father, and he thought that church was just all about economics. And so he went away from Germany, went to England to study, and then during that time, he wrote a book and formulated his thoughts with his new worldview. In fact, he wrote a book saying that religion was the opiate of the masses. His name was Karl Marx. He was so influenced by the hypocrisy of his own father, they developed this system that influenced millions of people around the world in communism. A bad example from a supposed leader. So the priests are identified. Yeah, the priests set a bad example, but their bad example is not an excuse for the people who followed the bad example. God still holds the people accountable and addresses them individually. You remember back in Jeremiah when some of the people were saying, "Our fathers ate sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge." In other words, they did it. It wasn't our fault. We're the way we are because of our parents' example. And the Lord retorts back to them and says, "No, each man will die for his own iniquity." But we live in a nation where, one author noted, is a nation of victims. He called it the victimization of America, where nothing is my fault. It's all because when I was young, what my mom did, what my dad did, or what they said to me in school, or how my environment shaped me, it's not my responsibility. The victimization of America. And this author said, our national anthem has become the whine. A magazine in Britain called The British Economist said about our nation, if you lose your job, you can sue for mental distress. If you bankrupt broke, the government has insurance for your deposits. If you drive drunk in a crash, you can sue somebody else for failing to warn you when to stop drinking. There's always somebody else to blame. So God, yes, he addresses the priesthood, but also the people who are responsible for setting up these false priests as bad examples. Verse 2, it says, the revolters have gone deep into slaughter, but I will discipline all of them. Though they don't direct their deeds towards turning to God, but because of their spiritual harlotry is in their midst, they don't know God. But the Lord says he will discipline them, because as the Bible says, the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he loves his people, and he wants a relationship with his people. So let's pray and say, Lord, may we just be people who set an example for you, Lord, that we be your people. And when people look at us, Lord, we can reflect our Lord in our behavior and in our actions and in our words. So let us think about that today as we go in your name. Amen.